I'm excited today because we have Dr. David Bruning coming to speak. And Dr. David Bruning knows this church longer than I know this church. One of our elders, Craig, Mark, an old elder, really old, about a month and a half older than me, know him from way back. And I know there's some saints out there that remember David from the early days in the start of this church. He was close friends with the pastor that started this church. They were brothers, really, in lots of ways. But we have people in this church that have kept contact with him. David Bruning is a missionary to Africa, to India, multiple countries, and he does things that most missionaries can't do because he's built something precious and beautiful to reach people. He is, I believe, an expert at raising up people within the countries to do the work of missionaries. And he's just like a conductor, man. He's just got these guys going left and right, and he's picking them out, and he's calling them out, and he does call them out. That guy's going to get a lot of money because he does everything he's supposed to do the right way. That guy is going to give his money to the guy that does everything. He does it all. He's just really good. I want you to encourage David as he is a friend and a brother to this church. So David Bruning, would you come up and share with us today?
Thank you very much, Pastor Mike. So good to be here. I think is what he was trying to tell you is that I'm educated beyond my own intelligence. I want to, first of all, thank this church and so many of the members here that have been so faithful for many, many decades supporting the International Children's Fund. And in spite of everything going on with the world and the economy, we continue to go forth in reaching people for Jesus Christ, providing food and clothing and water wells and deworming medicines and all kinds of stuff. In fact, last year, I think we did something like $68 million worth of help. Several water wells, almost every month or more, we're drilling a water well someplace, India, Africa, Pakistan. So God is good. He really is. And I would encourage you to trust him. In fact, I have been involved with this church for a long time. Pastor Jerry, when did Interfaith start? '77, but things were happening prior to that. Yeah. In fact, I first met Jim Erickson. I was involved with WEMI radio station the day we flipped the switch and went live, and was on there for many years, had 9 hours a week of live air time, and those were exciting years. And Jim Erickson and Maxine had invited the Hunters, Francis and Charles Hunter, to the Riverside Ballroom. How many know about Riverside Ballroom? Were some of you there at that point? Huh? You remember that? Somebody back there waving, yeah. Well, that's when I first met Jim Erickson, and we kind of hit it off. And for years, we enjoyed lunch with each other every 4 or 6 weeks. And then his son-in-law, Jerry Burrett, came here as senior pastor, and we met for a long time. And then Pastor Mike. So I have a long history with this church. So I really appreciate it in many ways. One of the other ways I really appreciate this church is there was a member of this church many years ago who actually shook my life up. I was a chemical coatings rep for the Sherwin-Williams Company. I had an office here in Green Bay. And maybe some of you heard this story. Sherwin-Williams had made a product for her, and it didn't work the way she expected it to work. It was my job to resolve those problems. And Sherwin-Williams has a great philosophy. The customer's always right, even when a customer's wrong. So you solve those problems and continue to serve that customer and make it a continued customer. And in the process of our dialogue, we got talking about Christianity. And she challenged my faith. She really did. To the point that the next day she came into my office and gave me a Bible called Good News for Modern Man. Never hear of that? Probably not one of the best translations. But for some reason, I was strangely drawn to that Bible. And many days I'd tell the people, I'm going to go out and make some calls, and I wouldn't make any calls. I'd go sit in a picnic bench out by the Lake Michigan and read Good News for Modern Man. And the more I read it, the more I was convicted, the more I was convinced, and it took me a long time. It was challenging. And eventually that day came when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ. So I got a long history with this church, and I'm thankful for it. So thank you, each and every one. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. And Lord, it's my prayer that you speak to each and every one here today. Give them that which they need for this day and for their lives ahead. As we look at all the turmoil in the world today, we can only look to you knowing that you are a God of grace and mercy, and that you work all things well and you work all things for good according to your perfect will. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. And, Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth proclaim your love and your grace today and speak to each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to, first of all, thank you, Pastor James. You always do such a great job of worship. One of the reasons I enjoy coming here is that you always have a vibrant worship service. So many churches really don't get into worship. And worship is so important. The Bible says that God dwells in the praises of his people. Is that right? How many know that's true? He dwells in the praises of his people. But so many times, worship becomes monotonous, and people really don't get into it. I liken it to a 747 heavy airplane sitting on the end of the runway, and the pilot slightly starts to thrust the jet engines, and they get louder and louder, and he's got the brakes on, and the engines get louder and louder and louder. Finally, he releases the brakes, and he starts to travel down the runway. And at a certain time, at a certain speed, depending upon that aircraft, there is a rotation that takes place, and he lifts the nose of the plane up. And there's enough speed at that point that the air will come over the top of the wings, and that airplane, as big as it is, as heavy as it is, will literally lift off the ground and defy gravity. How many know that's true? And as that plane leaves Earth and goes up into the sky, it's getting closer to the heavens. And I equate that to worship because in many places, that worship gets started. The engines are revving, and the plane is going down the runway, and at the point of rotation where the plane is supposed to lift, everybody slams the brakes on. Bing, we stop. And that's sad, because it's that time when we lift ourselves and our spirits up into the heavenlies that God is able to speak to us. How many know that's true? Worship is such an important part of who we are as a church, and it's an important aspect of our relationship with him. God has called us to worship. How many know that's true? We are to worship him. And, of course, there's many ways we can worship him. We can worship him by singing, by prayers, by thanksgiving, even by dancing. Oh, my goodness. Even by raising hands. These things are acceptable. Just read your Bible. It's all there. So I commend you, Pastor James, for you always get this group to enter into worship. And I trust that during those times, you let yourself go. Concentrate on him. Don't worry about what other people are saying, looking, doing. Concentrate on him during that time and allow him to speak to you, because he certainly will if you're listening. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. It's probably the diamond of the scriptures. It's an important scripture. It's one I think we should all contemplate daily, that God so loved. It's an awesome statement. Let's break it down a little bit. God, the greatest person, the greatest lover, the greatest person out of time and space, God. We can't even begin to comprehend him. He's so great. And the more I study, the more I read, the more I contemplate, the more I'm convinced that God is way better, way greater than we can even begin to comprehend. I look forward to that day when I will see him face to face, and I will see him face to face. That's a fact. You think of everything that man has done, the sophisticated things that are happening in this day and age with science and space and technology and geophysics. It's unbelievable. God is far beyond that. Far beyond that. He so loved. The greatest degree of love is God's love. There's no greater degree of love than God's love. Who did he love the world? The greatest number, billions, he loved his creation, mankind. The greatest number. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. The greatest gift, Jesus Christ. No greater gift. In fact, in 15 days, the Jewish population, millions of Jews, will be celebrating Passover. How many know that's true? And as I think about that Passover, I always think that the Lord told the Jewish people, you get that lamb, you slay that lamb, you don't break a bone, you eat it. You take some of that blood and you put it on the doorpost of your house. Because the death angel is going to pass by. And if you don't have blood on your doorposts, the firstborn is going to die. I think people were pretty eager to get that lamb, get that blood, and get it on the doorposts, because they were afraid. To whosoever, it's the greatest invitation. It doesn't make any difference if you're black, yellow, green, pink, or whatever. It's the greatest invitation. To whosoever, the greatest simplicity, whoever believes. Can't get any simpler than that, can it? Whosoever believes in who? In Jesus Christ, the greatest person. No greater person. Of all the religious leaders in the world, Muhammad, Buddha, whatever, they're all still in the grave. As we sang this morning, only Jesus rose from the dead. And the good news is he's coming back. And I think it could be pretty soon. Should not perish. The greatest deliverance. There's no greater deliverance than the deliverance that God gives us. But the greatest difference. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The greatest difference from death to life. Have the greatest certainty. Do you know that you can know that you have eternal life? You know, there are literally millions of people today walking around attending church, even this morning. They don't know that they can have eternal life. They're going to church maybe as an obligation or as a duty. But they really don't know in their heart, in their spirit, in their mind that they have eternal life. Everlasting life, it's the greatest possession. There's no greater possession than to know that you have eternal life. Now, let me back up just a little bit. We live in a very, very interesting time. I'm an old guy. Older than dirt, maybe. Not quite. I've seen a lot of changes in this world. A lot of changes in the church. A lot of changes in business. In fact, just The other day I was reading in the internet. I couldn't believe my eyes. It's a crazy world out there, folks. Crazy. They got young people in school now that are identifying themselves as animals. They're called furries. Have you heard of this? It's crazy. I don't even know if it's true. But they pretend they identify that they're cats or dogs. And the school systems, whoever these people are, and the teachers, whoever some of them are, I don't know, but they're literally allowing the students to come up and sit on the ground in front of the teacher like an animal would. And they kind of roll over and scratch themselves and play with their paws. And the crazy thing is, and I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't doubt it, they're putting sandboxes in some of the rooms in the schools, so instead of going to the bathroom, they can go to the sandbox. How crazy is this? Has anybody else seen this? It's stupid. What is happening to our society? What is happening to the church? We've seen a lot of changes. Now, let me bring you back to something I think you'll all relate with. A little over 2 years ago, something hit the world. COVID. You all heard that, right? A pandemic. Millions will die. But wait, we got an answer. There's a shot that you can get that will prevent you from getting COVID. And everybody ran to get the shot. How many know that's true? I have a friend, he's a PhD chemist, smart man. He's waiting to get his fifth jab. He's afraid of dying. He says he's an atheist. I said, no, you're not an atheist. Something happened in your life, you're mad at God. Atheists, anybody with a mind know there's a God. Atheists are mad at God for some reason or another. And I pray for that guy because he's a smart man. He's got over 100 patents. Brilliant man. How can you not know that there's a God? Everybody run to get the jab, right? And then as it kind of died off, people stopped getting them. They went to get it right away because they were afraid of dying. Think about it. We ain't going to get out of here alive, folks. That's a fact. One day you will hear that David Bruning died. One day they're going to hear that you died. That's just the way it is. We were born to die. In fact, I believe we are spiritual beings, we are, in an earthly experience in a human body. And there's a realm out there that far supersedes anything that happens here on earth. Now, I wish that we could take that psychosis that swept the world like COVID. And maybe one day the trump of God will blow and God will speak from heaven and announce to the world worldwide, like it happened with COVID, Christ is coming in 10 days. If that were to happen, how many of you think your lives would change in the next 10 days? Interesting thought, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we could get everybody to respond that way like they did to get the COVID jab? A lot of them got it, and then they found out, uh-oh, what happened? Breakthrough. Let me relate this another way. I think there's a lot of people who have been to church. They've been convicted. They prayed the prayer, the sinner's prayer, and they said, now I'm set. All set. Everything's good. Prayed a sinner's prayer. Got Christ. It's all good. Go about my life. Get that new car. Get that new boat. Buy that Lamborghini. Get that boyfriend I love. Get that girlfriend I love. Life goes on. Life is great. Pray the sinner's prayer. What about the breakthrough? Boom. Hello. You got to know for sure, folks. You got to know for sure. In that very same portion of Scripture, the diamond of Scripture, John 3:16, there's a rabbi, Nicodemus, came to see Jesus at night, maybe a little bit ashamed or embarrassed, because he's a religious leader, a rabbi. Jesus, we know that you're a man of God because nobody can do the things that you've done. Nobody. And he inquired of Jesus, and Jesus told him, what? You must be born again. Must. What a powerful word. You must be born again. It's not hope so, not maybe so, not think so. You must be, and you must know that you've been born again. If your life is not changed and transformed, you're not there yet. It's a breakthrough. You may have gone through all the motions, but there's a breakthrough because your life literally has not been changed. Are you with me yet? You want me to keep going? Huh? Your life has to be changed and transformed. That's what he said. He said, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? I can't do that. So it's not being born physically. It's being born spiritually. There has to be the Spirit of Christ living and abiding in you. In fact, the Bible says in the Living Translation, interesting translation, says very clearly that if you have not the Spirit of Christ living in you, you are not a Christian at all. Do you have the Spirit of Christ living in you? Do you know it? Has your life been transformed? Have you been regenerated and know Christ in your heart and your life? Do you speak to him? Does he speak to you? Are you obedient to his commands? Are you living the life of a Christian? Are you being transformed daily in your way of life, in your worship, in your development, in your service, in your unity and wholeness to the brethren? You know, it's an interesting thing, Christianity. If I'm going overboard, somebody wave at me because I guess we're on time limit here. I think I got 10 minutes yet, right? Could at 11? Anyway, thank you. I receive that. It's interesting. Because as a church, the Bible says that God has put in the church evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? These ministry people to develop the people within the church. We all need to develop into the faith of Christ. So we got worship. It's so important. We need to worship. Then as Christians, we need to develop. And that's the job of those five ministry equippers, to find out what gifts, talents, abilities you have and then get you doing those things, because those are the gifts that God has given you. And everybody has a gift. The Bible says so. Everybody has a gift, a talent. We can all do something for him. It's not good enough just to come and sit in church on Sunday morning or attend a Bible study. God wants you to be busy for him. That's really what it's all about. I think so many times of Philip in the book of Acts. Do you know that story? Philip, he was quite a guy. Quite a guy. Big revival going on. Spirit of the Lord spoke to him in the midst of that revival, and he said, hey, get up, go out into the desert. What? Too much action going on here. Great things are happening. Why do you want me to go in the desert? But he was obedient. Key, obedience. So many times God tells people what to do, but they don't do it. They're afraid for one reason or another. But if you're obedient, you do what God tells you to do, he will be with you. I'll say if it's God's will, he'll pay the bill. It's true. When I think back to my early days as a Christian, if somebody would have told me that I would be teaching and training pastors in many parts of the world, that I would be distributing food, well, I think last year over 1.3 million meals and millions of dollars worth of medicine, tens of thousands of mosquito nets, deworming medicine, jigger eradication, well, I would say there's no way. God wants you to trust him. And if you're faithful with the little things, guess what? He's faithful to take you to the next step. Christianity is a life of steps. We start out with that major decision of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So important. It's not just knowing about him. It's knowing him. There was a young lady that loved poetry, and she had her favorite poets, the ones that she liked. And one day she was invited to a meeting where there was going to be several different poets. And she liked several of them, but there was one there, she read his poetry, and she was not really very impressed with his poems. So she went, and she heard the man speak and recite his poems. And suddenly she fell in love with his poems. Why? Because she met the author. You see, you can know the Bible, you can read the Bible, you can know it inside and out, and many people do. But do you know the author? You see, that makes a difference. When you know him personally, it makes all the difference in the world. So Philip left. He went to the desert. He got out in the desert. Here comes a bunch of chariots. Queen was going back. She went to Jerusalem to worship. Somebody maybe had gave this guy the treasure of her domain, her kingdom, a scripture, a scroll of the word. And he was reading it in his chariot as he went along. And again, the Spirit of the Lord spoke and said, go join that chariot. Go join it. Now, can you imagine if you were on the sidelines of the presidential parade and the black cars are going through with the lights flashing, front and back, the president's motorcade, and the Lord spoke to you and said, go up to that car. How far do you think you'd get? Probably not too far. I'm sure Philip was thinking, what in the world is going on? Why am I supposed to go there? And when he got there, the man was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Wow, isn't that interesting? He said, do you know what you're reading? Do you know what you are reading and do you understand it? He said, I don't understand it. Who is this guy talking about? Is he talking about himself or about somebody else? And right then and there, Philip intervened and told him about Jesus. Hallelujah. I wonder how many opportunities we miss because we fail to intervene and tell somebody about Jesus. If we knew how bad hell was, if we knew how great heaven was, we would be telling everybody, hello, are you with me? That's the truth. I wish everybody could get a glimpse of hell. It would change the world. In fact, Jesus gave us opportunity. He told us things. He said at one point there was a rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. Had great clothes, Lamborghini in the garage, ate steak, caviar, lobster, servants at his feet, lives sumptuously, multi-trillionaire, if you will. And then there was old Lazarus. He was just looking for a few crumbs, maybe a steak bone that might fall off the plate of the rich man's table, that he might be able to glean something good to eat. And the Bible says in a period of time, the rich man died and Lazarus died. They're up in the kingdom in paradise. And the rich man's crying. He's not very happy. He's in a terrible place because he wasn't in that paradise down under, not up above. And he saw Lazarus up there. And he said to Father Abraham, Abraham, go see Lazarus. Tell him to bring me some water because I'm in flames down here. I'm thirsty. I'm hot. Abraham said, sorry, it's too late. In your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. Now Lazarus has everything, and you have nothing. He said, if that's really truly the case, send somebody to tell my brothers because I don't want them to come here. And you know what he told them? They have Moses and what? The prophets. You want to know how to get to heaven? Get in a book. Get in the Word. It will change your life. 70% of the world got the shot to prevent COVID. But yet there were millions of breakthrough cases. I think we got a lot of people in the church that have had breakthrough cases. We need to get back to what the Bible tells us to do. We need to promote Jesus Christ in a way that lives are changed. We don't need to educate people into the gospel. We need to spiritually condition them that their lives are regenerated and they become spiritual beings and are busy propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. If not, all the crazy things in this world are going to continue to only get worse. How many know that's true? It's true. It's crazy. We need to absolutely, positively see a change in individuals, and I believe it starts with the church. One day that trump will sound and Christ will return. I believe it's God's will that when you die, that you should hear, well done, thou faithful, good, and servant. You've done your job. You've completed the race. I hope that's true in the lives of each and every one of you. Because Christ indeed died for you. He died for the whosoever. It doesn't make any difference how bad you were, how bad you are, what has gone on in your life, how you maybe think you've been dealt with unfairly by a righteous God. God is there for you, and he wants to change your life. He really does. That's the bottom line. Let's look at one last scripture before we close. And I apologize for jumping all over the place. But, you know, God has a way of getting out there what he wants out there, doesn't he? Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I know there's some out here that can quote that verse in memory. Verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which you ask or think, according to the power of God that works in us. What a scripture. You see, there's no limitation to what God can do in and through you if you're willing to yield to him. And I would love to see this church spring forward with such a spirit of evangelism and love and compassion that lives would be changed not just in this church and everyone who enters through those doors, but in Green Bay, in Outagamie County, Winnebago County, Shawnee County, throughout the state of Wisconsin and throughout the world to a bigger degree than what you've already done. That would be God's will. That would be my prayer for you. That you might be able to comprehend with all the saints, those before, those now, those that will come after, the breadth, the length, the depth, the heights, and to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding and all knowledge, that you may, without a doubt, be filled with all the fullness of God. What a great story. That God so loved you. Put your name there. God so loved you. He says that if you believe, he would give you eternal life. The greatest gift.